brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Bee News with your host, Scott Jacobs.
Hello, listeners. This is episode CBN 083-1022-2014. Let's roll into article number one. Hemp, a huge missed opportunity for the U.S. Take it away.
Hemp, a huge missed opportunity for the U.S. TRIB.com. By Edith Cook. For more than five decades, industrial hemp has suffered misclassification because of its resemblance to marijuana. Both are members of the cannabis family, but where hemp is grown for food and other everyday uses, marijuana gets users high. Marijuana remains banned under the Federal Controlled Substances Act, which theoretically extends to industrial hemp, though it contains less than 0.3% THC, the psychoactive substance delta-9-tetrahydrocannabinol, while marijuana typically holds 5-25% THC. A move has been underway to decriminalize both products. Seeing the handwriting on the wall, in August 2013, the U.S. Department of Justice issued mandatory guidelines to federal prosecutors nationwide to not sue or block state laws legalizing marijuana. By implication, the directive includes industrial hemp. Previously, DOJ had decided to quit seeking federal mandatory minimum sentences for certain low-level nonviolent drug offenders. The federal government now leaves it to the states to enact regulations that will prevent marijuana sales to minors. You'd think the same would apply to the growing of industrial hemp, particularly since Section 7606 of this year's Agricultural Act authorizes hemp research and development in states that have legalized hemp cultivation. It seems, however, the Drug Enforcement Administration begged to differ, whereupon Kentucky rendered DEA interference its cause re. Researchers and farmers are producing the first legal hemp crop in generations in Kentucky, wrote Bruce Schreiner of the Associated Press on August 17. Sadly, and no thanks to federal bumbling, this year's crop consists of a mere 15 acres, from plots that resemble the size of large family gardens. Kentucky's farmers have been eager for a viable alternative to tobacco production, which has fallen on hard times, but hemp's reintroduction hit a snag when federal agents confiscated the seed the state's Department of Agriculture was importing. Aggrieved, Kentucky sued the federal government. On August 15, too late for this year's seeding, the case was settled through an agreement whereby the DEA issued a permit to Kentucky's Agriculture Department for the importation of hemp seed. Kentucky once was the nation's top hemp-producing state. In 1838, rope and bagging factories in Lexington alone employed 1,000 workers. George Washington grew hemp as his primary crop at Mount Vernon. Thomas Jefferson grew the plant as a secondary crop at Monticello, and he urged farmers to grow hemp in lieu of tobacco. Benjamin Franklin used it as the raw material to start one of America's pioneering paper mills. Hemp is a fast-growing crop that requires no irrigation and no fertilizer. 1 acre of hemp can produce 3-10 tons of biomass every 4 months of growing season. Hemp is cheap to tend, doesn't need pesticides, and is actually good for the soil in that it fixes nitrogen. Hemp is hardier than most similar plants, and it's the strongest natural fiber in the world. In Colorado, industrial hemp production has been underway since 2012. When Colorado realized the implications of the Kentucky settlement, its agriculture department applied for NDA-obtained permit like Kentucky's, whereupon Colorado's universities obtained DEA permits allowing the acquisition of seed from their state's agriculture department. The maneuver enables Colorado's purchasing of hemp seed without having to worry about DEA interference, and it also ensures that hemp research won't endanger its university's federal grant funding. The uses of hemp are wonderfully diverse. They are food, feed, fiber, fuel, shelter, and filter for air, water, and soil, states hempcleans.com, adding that hemp oil is highly nutritious. Its near-perfect balance of omega-3, 6 and 9 is added to health foods, from hemp milk to snack bars. Hemp fiber's strength is attested by automobile parts manufactured from biocomposites that mimic fiberglass and plastics. German automakers regularly use this biomass. Further, companies such as Calvin Klein and Adidas have incorporated hemp into their product lines. Animal feed and bedding comprise other uses. Then there's hempcrete, a building product stronger and lighter than concrete and naturally antimicrobial and insulative. Finally, both the seed oil and the stalks can be used for transportation fuels. The potential medicinal market exceeds the current technical one by greater than a factor of 10, writes another industry hopeful, noting that THC concerns and legalization industry missteps yet hamper the product's full development. The U.S. is the only industrialized country that banned hemp while consuming the world's largest volume of hemp products. Total sales of products to the U.S. containing hemp are estimated around $450 million. Australians and Canadians use hemp domestically and export it as food, animal feed, and biofuel. So do the Chinese, who have cornered the market on the uses of hemp fiber. To its financial detriment, the U.S. lags behind in a lucrative agricultural market.
Article number 2. Ontario man set sight high for world's first hemp plane. Take it away.
Ontario man set sights high with world's first hemp plane. Toronto Star. By Olivia Carville. Derek Kisek plans to be flying high in the world's first hemp plane next year. At first, people laughed when the Burlington, Ott, former organic restaurant owner said he was going to build a plane made out of hemp. Can you smoke it, too? They jibed. But, they're not laughing at me now, the environmental activist told the Star this week. Last month his Waterloo-based company, Hemp Earth, signed a contract with a Florida-based plane manufacturer to build an aircraft made almost entirely out of hemp. A member of the cannabis plant family, hemp is a tall, leafy plant with a strong fibrous stalk. It is used to make t-shirts, soap, rope, oil, food, construction materials and now, planes. Kisek believes his hemp plane could revolutionize the world just like Steve Jobs did with his phones. Because hemp is a sustainable crop that needs no pesticides or herbicides to grow, the plane would have a carbon footprint significantly smaller than that of standard planes, he said. We are building this essentially from weeds from the garden. When nickel and other elements are taken, they can be put back. At least 75% of Kisek's plane, including its wings, seats, pillows and outer shell, will be made from hemp, instead of fiberglass. The four-seater jet will be the color of natural hemp fiber, with a wingspan of 36 feet 12 meters. If the plane meets aviation regulations, it will fittingly run on hemp biofuel, Kisek said. Everybody said, you can't do that, you are not going to be able to do that. I just said, watch me, Kisek said. No one thought it would be possible, and all those people who were naysayers are now coming on board. Health Canada legalized the growth of industrial hemp in the late 1990s, but in some U.S. states it is still illegal to grow the cannabis plant. Hemp is often linked to its close chemical cousin, marijuana, and Kisek felt the need to clarify that no one would be smoking pot while building or flying the plane. My company is not about marijuana. It is about industrial hemp. I keep it really clean. We are almost like the Coca-Cola of hemp and I'm like the Richard Branson of the brand, he said. Sir Richard Branson, one of Britain's most high-profile billionaire investors, has been an inspiration to Kisek, who shared some other hemp-related pipe dreams with the Star. I want to build a spaceship and be up next to Richard Branson in space with hemp, he said. All going to plan, Kisek's first hemp project will be taking off next year, launching from Kitty Hawk, NC, where the world's first successful aircraft flight took place. Velocity Incorporated, the U.S. company contracted to build the hemp plane, gave the project a price tag of $500,000, Chief Executive Dwayne Swing told the Star. The company tested the strength and durability of woven hemp material before committing to the proposal by making two identical foot-long planks, one made from hemp and one from fiberglass. An employee then tried to break the planks to see which was stronger and found hemp was in most cases equal to or better than fiberglass, Swing said. As long as we can prove that hemp is as strong as fiberglass, then we can push forward with the project. Velocity Incorporated was waiting on confirmation from Hemp Earth that the project has the necessary funding before starting to build the plane, Swing said. Kisek aims to get at least 30% of the plane privately funded before turning to crowdfunding on the internet. Hemp Earth was registered earlier this year with the sole purpose of supporting the hemp industry, Kisek said. He hoped the plane would raise awareness about hemp and its potential benefits on the environment.
Article number 3. Industrial hemp becoming more attractive in low water seasons. Take it away.
Industrial hemp becoming more attractive in low water seasons. Rural. By Dougald Saunders and Sally Bryant. Farmers in the New South Wales Central West are looking at alternatives to growing irrigation cotton this year, and hemp is one of the options being considered. With low water levels in Burrendong Dam, irrigators in the Macquarie River Valley are facing a dry argument this summer. Agronomists say there will be much less cotton planted across the valley this growing season, with insufficient water allocation to guarantee the crop. Hemp is a crop that has been sidelined by the growth of cotton as a fiber, but in recent years it has attracted more interest and greater numbers of farmers are trying their hand at it. There is sufficient interest in hemp in the NSW Central West to prompt Land Care Group Macquarie 2100 to host a workshop/seminar in Nariman this week. Charles Tobin is part of a small group of university students who have established a hemp startup in the Lockyer Valley in Queensland. He and his partners have undergraduate experience in agronomy, commerce and languages, and they say they're interested in the long-term future of industrial hemp. Charles says he'd like to see their operation become a vertically integrated business, at the forefront of establishing the industry in Australia. He says their youth might be an initial surprise to people, but they know their stuff. Once they talk to us, they realize that we're talking about a commercially viable business and that we want to help get a sustainable industry up and running. Bob Doyle was growing hemp at his farm in the Hunter Valley, but says he couldn't find anyone to process it, so that's when he got into that side of the business as well. The only way we could realize the potential of hemp was to go about the exercise of building our own mill, he said. Meanwhile, the debate over whether or not to legalize hemp for human consumption continues.
All right, folks, that's all I have for this episode. Till next episode, have a good day, good night, good week. Bye-bye.
We pollinated your mind. Now, go pollinate the world.